We're on. Would you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, I am Susie Quattro. I come from Detroit. I was born on June 3rd, 1950, and I am a unashamedly Gemini.
What are you amazed in all of these years that either no one has asked you or you wish someone would ask you? This is the NME. This is the NME breath mint question. God.
How difficult was it?
If we're going to go anywhere down the road here, and we'll get to the new record, and we're going to get to some of the story for people who don't know, because it's my obligation to do so.
That part wasn't hard. I didn't find it hard being female, because I didn't think...
This is where I'm going.
I don't do gender, and I never have, and I don't do it now.
Thank you.
I'm a musician. Done. You know, my theory is, and I've been like this my whole life, that... You get back what you put out. This is what I found it in life. So I've always been going where I'm going, believing myself, determined, focused. It's kind of like, hi, I'm Susie. I play bass and I sing rock and roll. Do you have a problem with that? that's my attitude.
But a lot of people tough. Did. And that's the... Again... I don't want to go through your entire life history, but what I am interested in, you talk about that you were always running. But the difficult part, what really down in your heart and soul is the difficult part? Because you've had a lot of those that people point, but I don't think that's what you're talking about.
See, now you get me teary-eyed. I'm this, and I'm also like that. So I'm a real dichotomy. It's the giving up of everything else in life. You never can have the normal existence ever again. You know, that the fun stuff when you're a kid, you don't have to worry about anything. Your mom cooks you dinner and this and that. I've been on the road since 14. I'm 70.
Do you regret it at all?
No, because all I regret is... maybe missing out on a little bit of the, what's the word I'm looking for? The innocence, you know, like a little bit of the dating and the pajama parties. I wasn't doing that. I was playing them. So it's a whole different thing.
Can I tell you, it's not all what it's meant to be, by the way. You know, it's the publicity for those things, as someone who went through some of that and then did the same thing. My parents used to say, don't you want to go play baseball instead of being in your room playing records?
No, right? And you don't.
My partner, Debbie, who's the same age as me, nice Jewish girl from the Bronx. We talk about this all the time. She went to my high school reunion. And I was the guy that everybody went and said, oh, you were the high school DJ. Oh, wait a minute. You're the guy who was doing this. And she said... you didn't, it's so obvious you didn't fit in with 98% of the high school.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Right?
Okay, you hit the nail on the head. And you're going to say the same, I know. As I was growing up, five kids, I fit nowhere. I used to go, I'm not that. What am I? My whole life, I fought to find my voice. And the only way I could find my voice was to find my own exclusive niche. And that's what I did. Nobody had done it. See, that's why it worked. Because nobody had done it. I had nobody to compare to. And I went, I'm not that. All I ever kept saying was, I'm not that. What am I? I'm this. I accepted it a long time ago. And I have to tell you a little story. And you'll love this. Everybody says, I didn't get what I did. This is the truth. I did not get it that I was the first one that I kicked on the door because it wasn't my agenda. I was simply surviving, uncompromisingly being me. Maybe I wouldn't make it. I don't care. I'm being this. This is who I am. Boom. So the first time I got it was watching in London, my first premiere of Susie Q. I was going to do the question and answer. You'll love this story. Going to do the question and answer. And I really wanted to see it on the big screen with an audience. I wanted to feel the oohs, the ahs, the gurs, the tears. I wanted to feel it. So I snuck in and stood on the side. A couple people saw me, but I went shh, shh, and they didn't bother me. And I was in tears a lot of the time. All these women coming up, and I was going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Then the next day, I called my friend, Cherie Curry, and I said, I have something to tell you. And she said, what? I said, well, I went to the premiere last night, and I just realized something. And she said, what? And I said, well, by me doing what I did, I gave women permission all over the world to be different. And she went quiet, and then she went, and you just got that? Which really made me laugh. But isn't that refreshing that I didn't do that?
But that's the truth.
And I was in tears. So you know, I was in tears. Cherie gave me an award at the She Rock ceremony. I asked her to do it, my icon award. She was crying. I did a Zoom with Kathy Valentine and Cherie. They were both crying. I'm going, and then it found, now I get it. Now I do get it. That, yeah, but it's refreshing that that wasn't an agenda.
Where was that moment that you realized, wait a minute, I have to be, and I'm going to save you this, I have to be the, you know, slight girl with the giant bass.
I mean, my first thing was Elvis, you know, when I was 5 and a half. That was my touchstone. I saw him on the Ed Sullivan Show, and my elder sister by 9 years was screaming, and I thought, what are you doing? Because I was too young. And then I watched Elvis, and I had the light bulb moment that I was going to do that. And I didn't think about being a girl or a guy. Didn't think about it. Then at 14, when we started the band, everybody chose an instrument, and I didn't speak up quick enough. And it's all five of us on the phone, all five girls, two friends and another girl. And it was after seeing the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. And I said, hey, what am I going to play? And my sister Patty said, you're going to play bass. I went, okay, I already played drums.
I'm McCartney.
No, I didn't care. Right? I actually didn't care. And when I asked my father, I said, we're starting a band, Dad. This is just how it happened. I got given the bass. I thought, fine, I don't care what I play. As long as I can play, great. So I said to my dad, do you have a bass I can use? Because we're starting a band. And he gave me, as my first bass, a 1957 Fender Precision with a gold scratch plate, sunburst finish, and a stripe down the back of the neck, and a basement amp. Excuse me. In which world does this happen? It's no wonder that I ended up being such a good bass player. I did not know there was such a thing as a smaller neck or a smaller guitar. All I knew was this was what I was given to play. I didn't go from guitar to bass. I started on bass, and I learned my craft. I learned bass and singing at exactly the same time because we started the band. I was lead singer and playing, so they just all fit together. And it is my instrument. It is my. I play a lot of things. I play very good piano and very good percussion, but bass is really my heart and soul. It is. It is.
So there's this great quote of yours. You knew what you weren't, but you didn't know what you were. And again, I'll tell you what was even more painful. Watching someone right over your shoulder saying, okay, go write another lyric, and it's got to be this, and it's got to be this, and it's got to be this. And look.
Yeah, well, I've never sold my soul, you'll notice. I've never done it. I've been me the whole time.
No, I know.
I'm uncompromising. I am uncompromising. I will not change for somebody. I will not be your version of me. Won't do it.
The look on your face is it's kind of like, okay, I'm leaving now. When I come back, you'll have
this.
Did you see
my face?
But that's what I'm saying. It was like right then and there, I was like, this woman's not going to put up with this.
And I didn't.
It's just not going to work.
And I didn't. And Mickey, he's gone now for many years, but we had a great relationship because I didn't put up with it.
You know, and then finally saying, I need a band. You know, I need a band.
I was dying. I was dying. And then everything started to make sense. You know, I'm living in that little room, you know. Oh, geez, that was so hard. I don't know anybody. You say what was hard? You rip yourself out of your comfortable environment. You leave your sisters. You leave your mom and dad. You leave the nice home with the Cadillac in the driveway. You fly to London with no guarantee you're going to make it. You spend a lot of wasted time in the studio because Mickey didn't know how to produce me. Searching. You cry yourself to sleep every single night. You get up every day and you take your Les Paul professional recording vest that weighs so much that they took it back off the market. You walk from Earl's Court to London, write a few songs, steal some food from the kitchen because they have no money, and you go home and sleep in that little bed with the sink and the broken mirror. And you want to know what's hard? That's what's hard. And did I think about quitting? Not for a millisecond.
But then Chapman Chin comes into the picture.
Yes, at the right time, because the band was together. We were doing all my own material, and they were good at crafting the three-minute song. So Mickey said, can they try to write you a hit? And they came and watched the show, which is great, because the first album, when you listen to that first album, it's mainly my own songs, all boogie-based. So Mike heard that, and he went away, and he got Can the Can out of that, which was great. Turned into a very, very successful team for a very long time, until I outgrew it. And that was about Back to the Drive time, you know?
And that's where I want to compress a lot of time so we can get here. But, oh my gosh, you know, all the things you've done in between, the zillion labels, like how many labels? I can't even count.
Mickey made a big mistake. Bless him. He hangs around me sometime. He's here right now. Sorry, Mickey. He was always afraid that I would leave England and go back to America and leave him. So he put me through different record companies every single release in America. So they wouldn't build the longevity, which is a shame. He did it. He was afraid to leave me. And then I did leave him for Dreamland, so he didn't have the desire. But we were always close anyway, right up until the end. But he made a mistake doing that because it didn't build a longevity with any company.
But also, and this gets to this, I'm going to segue in a minute. People, if they don't pay attention, don't understand why Stumbling In happened, why it existed, you know, and people will be like, oh, Susie Quattro, yeah, number one hit, what happened there? And it's all about songwriting. People forget that everything you've done, whether it's If You Can't Give Me Love, which is one of my, I've probably played that on the radio more than anything in existence, right? But in the end, if people are really looking back on you, it was about two things. It was about performance and understanding what a great song was.
Well, it's also about putting the artist in the right frame. It's the whole package. It's the whole package. It's no mistake that I still wear my jumpsuits. I still play my bass. I still stand basically the same way. And on the new album you can hear, I'm still the same artist, only I'm matured now. But I'm not matured. My son says I'm... My son says I'm still 7 years old, you know. No, he...
My 19-year-old daughter says I act younger than her. So, yeah, okay. I get it.
Okay, I haven't matured.
That's what we do.
There was a little section there where it was just all Eagles on Linda Rodstad in America. And it wasn't until I did Happy Days, really. I did successful tours there. But Happy Days really cemented me. Because it was Susie Quattro playing another Tuscadero. So they discovered me that way. But I don't care how they discovered me. They finally got me.
So this shows up. Right? And I know you've never stopped. That's the most important people that people need to understand. It's not like, oh, I'm going to retire and now I'm going to make a comeback.
Oh my God, I never stopped.
This thing, this is a real, even on the CD, look at this. It's a real record. It's got a friggin' gatefold and it's got, you pull it out, it's got like stuff. How hard is it in this day and age to get a label to commit to actually making a record?
Well, they committed on No Control, and they loved that so much, my first outing with my son, and then they took up the option for this one. And my son has, I can't say it any other way, he has reintroduced me to myself. That's the only way I can say it. He's watched me since a tiny boy. He's a rocker. He's a guitar player. And after No Control that we did together, he said, Mom, I know exactly what this next album should be. You have to trust me. And he's throwing me these riffs, this 36-year-old musician with these riffs. And I'm going, whoa. And I'm seeing me through his eyes. And it's the most exciting thing I've ever felt in my life. It's like I'm brand new again. This is what it feels like. It's fantastic.
You didn't mess around. It's still called The Devil
sure,
and Me.
Because that's what I am.
You kept the Susie Quattro
sure,
brand.
That's who I am. My mom used to say to me, actually, in all honesty, she always said that out of the five children, I was the sweetest and the shyest, but the one with the mischief in my eyes.
There's so much tribute in here. Hey, Queenie. I mean, oh my gosh.
Now, you want to talk about a baseline? Talk about a baseline. You know, I throw that challenge out to bass players out there. Play that bass line and sing that song. I dare you. It's hard.
Well, but for people who don't get it and don't know and don't understand, you also made this during the most ridiculous time.
When I said to Richard, now, you know, we're locked down. They've taken up the option. Okay, let's write the album. And it was all in the air, picking it out. You can hear it on all the songs. And the one that is really about the pandemic, there's two actually
Isolation Blues,
100%, and My Heart and Soul, because I was missing my husband. I'd been 2.5 months with him, but Isolation Blues has managed to nail it. How people are feeling right now, nail it, totally nail it, and it's managed to be a strong song. I don't know how that happened, but it's not oh girl I'm dying. It's in your face. My son said to me, because the last album we did a song called Going Down Blues, and now we did Isolation Blues. And he likes the blues very much. And he said to me, what I like about it when you do the blues, Mom. I said, what? He said, is that you do the blues your way. So you don't sing like a traditional blues singer. You sing it your way.
I mean, every one of these songs can be a narrative for, you know, you didn't know this when you were making this record.
Well, I mean, we were in the lockdown, but... in fact, he had that title just as we started to write, just as the lockdown was starting. He said, I got this great title in this riff, and he showed me that. I said, okay, what is the title thing? He said, well, you know, Mom, you know, you're stuck in jail, and you've got to play one more gig. And then about a month into the lockdown, when I started to work on the riff and that idea, I said, Richard, this is not an imaginary situation. I said, we are in jail.
This is real.
So the words came out real punchy, you know. And I mean, I've never felt more creative at this time. I don't know why.
But man, oh man, I maintain, and this is a great segue to the last thing we're going to do. I maintain that we have to give Michigan a little while. We have to give Florida a moment to be smart. Yeah. But we're going to have the biggest party. And when you're back out there playing this, the fans are going to, I mean, not that we needed to go through
what you mean, though. You know, it's. I have gone through the whole rainbow of feelings, and I've shared it on my sites. You know, I do religiously Instagram and all my Facebook stuff. I communicate all the time. One time I went on Facebook. I do it first thing in the morning. Hi everybody, blah 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 blah, and then I said from out of nowhere, and depression. Don't you come knocking at my door, you're not getting in. And guess what? That night, up in bed, the depression came and I hit the wall. And I hit it so hard. And obviously, when I'd made that glib comment on Facebook, it must have been going around the edges and I was putting it off. It didn't knock on the door, it just came right in. You know? I'm not ashamed to say I hit the wall. And I want to tell you what, it's fine to hit the wall. And you cry as long as you need to. It doesn't matter. Just let it out. Let it out.
But that's why we're alive, and so many other people that we know, you know, didn't make it because they just couldn't get there. I have invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what this is two of your songs on the outside. And then little music behind me, studio behind me. I go in and I play 40 minutes of solid music with no interruptions.